Check, check, check. Oh, there we go.
It's been solved with everyone, too. Yeah. I was on mute because I'm dumb. I
see. Alrighty. Hi, guys.
Hey. I forget Paul and Dre.
How are you doing?
Oh, you know. Every now and then things break, and there's only one person on Earth who can solve the problems. That would be me. So, hello. What's happening in this room later? Do we have... Can I go late because I was late?
Sure.
I don't know if you have the authority to say sure. But I do, but only if there's not anyone after me. So, who was at this panel last year? One, two, three. All right, cool. So, welcome. How many of you, this is your first Furrydolphia ever? Wow, a lot of you. Hi, welcome. So, my name's Drain. I'm the con chair, and if you don't know what a con chair is, it doesn't mean that you sit on me, although sometimes that's how it feels. It means that I am essentially the president. I make executive decisions. I'm the head of the board. Basically, I don't really know how to run a convention, but I know how to whip people into shape. And so I have a team of about 10 people who know how to run a convention, who know how to run a tenth of a convention. And so my job is to put them all in a room and make sure that they cooperate. So, I think that's the dance comp going on over there.
Yeah.
Or no, that's sound check, possibly. Alrighty, so... Yeah, what time is it? Yeah, that's sound check. There's nothing in this room afterwards. So, cool. The dance starts in 30 minutes, and it's going to get pretty loud, but I'm happy to sit up here and spill my secrets to you for as long as you guys are interested and for as long as my attention span lasts. So, things at Furrydolphia have not always been super, super smooth. Things at this Furrydolphia didn't really start super, super smooth. My apologies again for the reg lines. I've been apologizing for that all weekend. We're working on it for next year. But this panel is something where I like to let you guys in on the secrets of what happens at Furrydolphia's past. Because there are a lot of interesting occurrences that we like to hide behind the veil. And now that those years are behind us, those horror stories, instead of being horrible headaches, have instead become hilarious anecdotes of the past that I can now tell you with names removed. So, first of all, I started this panel last year by asking, do any of you want to ask me any specific questions about how the convention has gone in the past? Because if I can use stories to answer questions, that's always probably the best way to run this. Yeah.
How much has your drinking increased over the past couple conventions?
Has my drinking, my personal drinking, I would say that my intake has not really changed. No, that's true. That's not true. I do have a bottle of bourbon in my office, which is almost empty at this point, and it was full on Thursday. I would say that my taste for alcohol has improved, for sure. I drink fancier things now than I did when I was first starting off as a young furry going to other conventions and taking fireball shots. But yeah, yeah, definitely there is drinking involved. So yeah, great question. I don't really have any funny stories pertaining to me drinking in particular, although one year, let's see, have I done anything stupid? at last at previous conventions. I don't think I've managed to make a fool of myself at Furrydolphia specifically. Although last year, when we had a party after the convention, and we stole one of the, you know, the scooters that old people sit on to ride around? We stole one of those and brought it to the suite, and we're doing donuts in my hotel room with one of those scooters. So that was a fun time. There was a lot of inebriation involved with that. Any other questions you guys want to hit me with that I can use to jump? Yeah, I heart nerds. The candy or the people? Both? Same. That were trolls, you said? if the question just like in general is have we encountered haters? Oh God, yes. So I have one of my favorite recurring themes from any Furrydolphia is the idea that certain people have that this space and any other space we occupy is, quote, public property. The idea that this is not private rented space and that I, as the chairman, have no power to tell you how you have to behave.
That's not how it works.
No! My name is on this fancy piece of paper called a contract, and there has been an exchange of currency for there to be here. And that means that I'm a renter, and that means that I have rights, and that means that if you're being an asshole, I can kick you out of this hotel. And I have done that. We haven't kicked anyone out of this hotel yet, actually. Knock on whatever wood may be available. I think all the chairs are metal, so I think we're just screwed. But we have not kicked anyone out of the hotel, this hotel, yet. Last year we kicked a bunch of people out. Pretty much every year we've kicked some people out. One year we had a dude show up who had, let me just say, some really interesting thoughts about trans people that he was really eager to share with anyone who would listen to him. And we were like, hi. You need to get the hell out of here and never come back ever. And he refused because he said, this is public space, you can't kick me out. And then the police showed up and the police were like, all right, buddy, you can either walk out of here or you can walk out, we can carry you out in handcuffs. That's always very fun. We stand the police arresting trans folks who are trespassers. Yeah. We a lot of the people who I would call trolls mostly stick to the internet. But that was a fun time. Anytime I get to put some piece of shit like that in his place is a good time. What else? Other jumping points. Otherwise, I'll just start telling stories about crazy batshit things that have gone down. Yeah.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen in the past few years running Furrydolphia?
So the past few years running Furrydolphia would pretty much be all of them. We started in 2017, so the memory of those years is still pretty fresh. The weirdest thing. That's very specific. Closing ceremonies of 2017 was pretty coked out. I'm trying to think if there was something weirder than that, because that was definitely the craziest thing. I'll think about if there was a weirder thing, but in closing ceremonies of 2017, our first ever event, all right? Relax, guys. The dance hasn't started yet. In closing ceremonies of 2017, we had this guy who has not showed up again, fortunately. We call him CIA guy, and he still gets referenced to this day when we have meetings about security at the convention. He's a great case study, honestly, in like how to respond to disruptive people. So like, this dude is in the crowd just like you guys. It is a packed room, right? It's the end of our first year. It went really, really well. And so the room is packed full of people waiting to hear about what our next move is going to be. And so in the middle of me talking and giving this speech, all of a sudden, if you know what this sound is, the old school emergency broadcast tone for if that. If there's like a natural disaster or something like that, that starts going off in the crowd, which everyone stops. Because usually when you hear that sound, it means that there's like a tornado or something. The last time I heard that sound over the actual radio, it was because a chemical plant 10 miles from me exploded. And they thought that a cloud of toxic gas was flowing through and that everyone in a 30-mile radius would have to evacuate. So, when I hear that tone, I'm like, what's happening, right? The first thing I thought was it was someone's ringtone, which I was about to be like, you're a piece of shit because that's your ringtone. You're freaking people out every time you get a phone call. But, so that goes off, and this dude leaps out of his chair. Like, random guy in the middle of the audience leaps out of his chair, and he starts, like, strutting like this up to the stage. And I'm just, like, sitting there at my table, like, flabbergasted. I don't understand what's going on. I'm like, dude comes up, and, like, so it's the first year of the con, right? And it's been a thing at other cons I've seen where other con chairs have gotten pranked by their staff members. So I'm sitting there, and this guy's walking up, and I'm like, okay, my staff are pulling a prank on me by having some guy come up to the stage and take the mic from me, and this is a whole prank. My staff are pranking me, right? And at the same time, everyone on staff who's watching this happen, they're like, oh, okay, Drain is pranking us. So everyone thinks that this is a joke being played on everyone else. And so the dude comes up, and he just, like, walks up to me, and I'm, like, on a table up on the stage, and he goes here, and he's just like, and against my better judgment, I'm like, all right. Let's see what this is gonna be. So the dude takes the microphone and he grabs it, and I honestly, the memory of what exactly he said specifically has kind of faded over the years, but he started talking. Okay, dude was not on his schizophrenia meds, let's just say. Like, that's the assumption. So he takes the microphone and he begins to just, like, say crazy shit that doesn't make any sense. And at one point, he has a backpack with him, and at one point, he starts saying about how he's been dispatched to the convention by the Guardians of the Galaxy in order to ensure that it was the National Endowment of the Arts is properly funded. The Guardians of the Galaxy have sent me to make sure that the National Endowment of the Arts has been properly funded, and I am doing this by selling t-shirts. And so I'm not making this up. This is too crazy for me to make up. So he puts his backpack down, he starts opening it, and he's just pulling t-shirts out like this. Pulls one out, shows the crowd. Pulls one out, shows the crowd. And at this point, I'm sitting on stage and I'm like, I don't think this is a prank. So I lean over to the vice chairman and I'm like, because my vice chairman's a big prankster. He loves joking around and put people on the spot, right? So I lean over and I'm like, do you know who this guy is? And he's like, and then I lean over to the person next to me who happens to be the public safety director, and I'm like, do you know who that is? And he goes, no. And then I go over to the other people, on the stage. All the rest of the staff are like on the side area of the stage, like over there. And I'm like, do any of you know who that is? And they're like, no. Like, do you not know who that is? I'm like, no, I have no idea. And they're like, why'd you give him the microphone? I'm like, I don't know. He came up and he said he wanted the microphone. That's like really ballsy. You don't turn a person down when they just walk up in the middle of a crowd of like 300 people and they're like, give me that. I'm like, all right, you probably have something more important to say than me. So like, at this point, we had these guys on security. I love my security guys, they're all sweethearts, but a bunch of them, I'm sure you've seen them walking around, are like a million miles tall and built like freight trains. And just so you know, they are here for your guys' protection. They're awesome, they're my close personal friends. They look really scary, but they are not cops, and they do not act like cops. They're here to help make sure the event is a really great time. But when CIA guy starts on his shit, it helps to have 1,000 pounds of collective muscle to walk over and be like, all right, buddy, you gotta go. I'm in a panel, please fuck off. So they...
No, I'm running a panel. You're good. Talk to you. Okay, well, I'm going to get it from you truly.
Bye. I love the staff. So we tell this guy, we're like, all right, come on, buddy, we gotta go, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts realizing that he's getting, you know, like, escorted out. And so he... This, like, crazy dude, right, who's done all this shit that makes no sense up to this point, he starts shouting, now, Silent Bob, do it now. He goes, do it now, Silent Bob, do it now. And he starts reaching into his pocket like this. And I'm sitting on the stage, 22 years old, and I'm like, I'm about to die. Some person in the crowd has a gun or a bomb or something, and we are all dead. Instead, he pulls out of his pocket a wad of like $1,000 cash in 20s and just chucks the shit into the audience. Right? And so the smart thing to do would have been, I think what he was expecting. Anyone play Assassin's Creed? Do you know how in Assassin's Creed, one of the things you can do is if you're being chased by guards, you can throw money on the ground and then all the peasants like start running for it so that you can flee and the guards trip all over them and shit? I think he's imagining that he's going to throw this money and everyone's going to go, ah, that he's going to escape. He throws this money and everyone is just sitting in the crowd really uncomfortable like this as money's just like raining down on them. Everyone's just like that, and he's just standing there, and we're like, and no one in the crowd does anything, right? Because he's shouting for Silent Bob, who's this person who doesn't exist. And so he's just like standing there, and we're like, are you done? And he's like, yeah. And we're like, all right, come on. And so, sorry, it's gonna be noisy. After that, we take the dude and we bring him to our office and we ask him if he can, we ask him to take a seat because we're trying to talk to him, like figure out what the heck is going on. We ask him to take a seat and he doesn't want to sit down because the government has been trying to trick him with fake chairs.
What?
He's like, the government's trying to trick me with fake chairs. I'm not sitting. Like, I don't know what that means, but... Anyway, at one point he like, we're trying to talk to him. We're like, are you like, are you okay? Like, are you here with anybody? Like, what's going on? And he's just sitting there, he's not really answering questions. Then he's like, am I free to go? And we're like, yeah, we're not the cops. We can't arrest you. Like, you can leave if you want to. We just wanted to ask you a question. He just gets up and, like, walks out of the hotel and just gets in his car and fucking drives away. And after this, he was never seen again. And then after this, some other random person comes up from the crowd with another $500 cash in 20s and hands it to me and goes, so that dude just handed me this and told me that my code phrase was Silent Bob and told me to wait for the signal but didn't tell me what to do. Just said, you are Silent Bob, wait for the signal. Guys, like, wait for the signal for what? And then dude just walked away. But I guess I can't blame him. If someone handed me $500 cash, I was like, this is yours. He'd be like, yeah, all right. I'm here for it. You got any more? Like, But no, dude very graciously returned it to us, which he did not have to do, and which, admittedly, I probably wouldn't have done myself. I would have been like, sweet. But no, so we collected as much of the money as we could and we donated it to the charity. And to this day, I have no idea who that man was. We have never seen him again. I don't know what his story is. What's that? Of Boozy? Too Boozy. As in Boozy Badger? Okay. Yeah, sorry, I can't hear any of you guys are saying over. They started like 15 minutes early. So that was definitely like the craziest, most batshit, unexplainable thing to happen at Furrydolphia. I'm trying to think if that was year one. Year one, the other crazy thing that happened year one was someone flooded the entire hotel because they laid down in the bathtub. So I don't know who does this. I don't know personally who does this, but I don't really take baths, but if I'm gonna take a bath, what I do is I start the water running and then I like dick around for like 10 minutes until it's filled and then I get into it. This person, for whatever reason, got naked and into their cold, empty bathtub and then turned the water on to fill the tub with them in it. Does anyone do that? Yeah. Does anyone think that makes sense? No. That's weird. Anyway, bathtub is filling. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Dude falls the fuck asleep. And so me, it's like we're up on the upper level of this hotel and it is completely pitch fucking black because the hotel has rigged, what they did was they set it up, there's motion sensors in the ceiling and they set up all the lights to turn off after 12 o'clock and activate with the motion sensors when you come in. The problem is they didn't connect the fucking motion sensors. So they don't work. So, and they wired it incorrectly because if you guys know about like those like bug light emergency things, that's a battery pack. So if the power goes out, those lights on the side will kick on for 90 minutes to provide emergency exit lighting. So 12 o'clock in the morning comes around, the lights on the upper level just go out, and those bug lights all come on, which means they wired this timer at the panel so that it just kills the entire circuit to everything, including the exit signs. So at 12 o'clock, all the lights in this hallway go out, and it's like, it's dark, and the only illumination is from those things. And by 1:30, it is pitch black because the batteries die. So it's pitch black. So now it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I have my freaking phone flashlight out because I'm walking to like where the security room is, and I hear running water. There are no bathrooms up here. Why is there running water? Where is that coming from? I look over to the walls. And there's just water coming down the wall from the ceiling and into the ground. And it's not pooling in the ground. It's just going down. And so I'm like, that is probably not supposed to be happening. So I go to the front desk and I'm like, so first of all, you still haven't fixed your fucking wiring issue, which we told you about on Thursday. Second of all, there's a waterfall feature on the upper level. And they're like, what do you mean? That doesn't make sense. And they go up there and they're like, oh boy, that's not great. So they start going up systematically every floor because the hotel's like vertically stacked, right? So we go up the elevators to the first floor of the guest rooms and we walk over to that location. And guess what? Ha, huh? Okay, go up to the next floor. Okay, that one too. Up to floor four, up to floor five, same thing. We got to the sixth floor of this eight-story building. And finally, on floor six, no trickling water. And the carpet, you get off the elevator. Sting. Ha! Huh. This is drenched. And so we are following the drenched water to one hotel room door that just has water pouring out from under it. We're like... Door opens. You probably want to know about the water, huh? Yeah, dude. That is why we are here, yes. Long story short, dude fell asleep in his bathtub for an hour and a half. And water was just running down the hotel. So that was fun. The next year, that same hotel, they put in our contract. So we have contracts that have these terms and conditions that's like, in exchange for using this space, you agree that blah, 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 right? Whole bunch of bullshit, but I read it every year. I do a panel called How to Run a Convention, and they ask me for my advice when starting a convention, and what I say is if you get a contract for anything, you should always read that contract, always, every time. Because they hand me the contract, and I look at the first page, and it's identical to our contract from last year. Then I turn the page, and it's identical to our contract from last year. Turn the page, identical. Turn the page, identical. But I'm still reading through the whole thing. I get to the middle, like the eighth page out of 12, and there's a little sentence in there that got added, which says that the hotel can bill us for damages to attendee rooms. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what caused that to get added. So we managed to strike that from the contract, and I was like, hi, yeah, I know the flood wasn't fun, but you can't bill us for that. And they were like... But then the next year, we are at the hotel, and everything was cool, and then Saturday comes around, 2018, and there's a rainstorm. Which was a 100-year record for Pennsylvania. 100-year record for most rainfall in one day. Guess what happened? The hotel flooded. I'm like, so this is just our curse, huh? Water, that's the plague that we get every year. Yep, that was it. So, no, I'm sorry. You can't bill us for acts of God either, fortunately. It's a Hilton. Hilton has insurance, I promise. So the second year we had the biblical flood in the hotel. 2 years in a row, technically, flooding. And then when that flood happened, they actually completely flooded the basement of what was going to be our hotel the next year. So that hotel renovated the entire space. And actually in 2019, our third year, they ended up not being able to give us half of our dealer's den. They cut our dealer's den in half because of flood damages. Third year, It flooded before the convention happened, and they had to replace all the floors. So they managed to replace half the floor in our ballroom, and then they had the other half closed off, and there was tarps and plastic and temp walls built everywhere, and it was... So then 2020 got canceled because of COVID, and then 2021, I'm pleased to say, we had no water-related incidents. Woo! This year, we have also, thus far, had no water-related incidents.
Yes.
Thus far.
Don't jinx it.
And what was funny was the casino after 2021 did not renew our contract, right? Which is why we're here. And they, we had another after our 2021 convention, like a month after, not even a month after, like 2 weeks after, I think, we had another colossal rainstorm. And my house is about 10 minutes away from the Valley Forge Casino Resort. So we go driving past it all the time on our way to restaurants and errands and everything. So the next day after that giant rainstorm, we go driving through, flood trucks everywhere. They've got the whole freaking parking lot is full of flood mitigation trucks, and they've got those like deployable hoses that they pump water out leading into the hotel. And I'm like, you guys didn't learn your lesson from the time this happened a year ago? You could have, remember when you were ripping up and replacing all the floors? You didn't think to maybe like put some drainage in? Nope. Wonder if they did it this time. I don't know. Haven't seen flood trucks since. Next time it rains, I'll report back. I'm trying to think if there's anything happened that was like super, super weird. Like paranormal weird. I don't think we've had anything paranormal weird happen in the hotel. Other than like one year. So in 2019, I'm not going to dwell on this for very long because it's sad. In 2019, we lost one of our board members a week before the convention. He passed away very, very tragically and very suddenly. And so we were having... That's the context, as we were having memorial services for him at the convention because he had died so recently, like so close to the con. And so the other thing about him was that before we lost him, he was also a huge like trickster and prankster. And so I don't necessarily believe in like ghosts and an afterlife and paranormal, but I will say that the whole weekend, we had no maintenance issues except for whatever reason the lights did not work in my office only. And Cody, before we lost him, worked facilities and maintenance. And so the lights in my office just don't work at all. And the hotel facilities, they have ladders up there poking around at the ceiling. They're like, I gotta tell you, man, like, we've checked everything. We've checked the wiring, we've checked the breakers. Like, we just can't figure out why the lights aren't turning on. And I look over, and I have a portrait of him that we printed out. We had to struggle to find, fortunately for us, he recently had been to a wedding, and he had gotten his picture taken at the wedding, and he was in a really crisp white suit looking nice. And he never really liked posing for pictures, so he, in his pose to this picture, looks like this. Just sitting there, arms crossed, smirking, looking out. So I'm standing there in my dark office with like lights that I brought in on batteries, and I look over and he's just like... So, I don't know if I believe in ghosts, but my man definitely figured out how to turn the lights off on me. That was funny. Nine o'clock right now, but I was a half hour late, so I'm going to go until they kick off the dance and it gets so loud that you can't hear me or I can't hear myself think. Are there any other questions you guys want to ask me? Yeah.
Safety concerns. Like, what have you gained from knowing, like, your first
Well, first of all, I don't give strangers the microphone. That was an important lesson. Last year was probably our least stressful year, and that was because we got into our hotel space on a Wednesday. We pretty much, if Furrydolphy is a stressful experience for me, it's stressful because of one recurring thing, and that is because we don't get enough time on Wednesday and Thursday before the convention to set up. So when we found out pretty late in the game that the casino was not going to renew our contract, and we started scrambling to find a new space. And this hotel, we called a bunch of other hotels. Everyone's booked up or everyone's really expensive. This hotel gets back to us and they go, "We have one weekend available from June until December. And it is this weekend, August 26th, 27th, 28th. And I said, "Cool, I will take it." But the problem was, there was another group, a corporate group, in this hotel, and they cleared out Thursday at 6 p.m. So last year we had all day Wednesday and all day Thursday to set up the con. This year we had Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. 2 hours to set up the con. So, big sources of stress that recur every year is basically, we don't get enough time on Thursday, and then Thursday is stressful, and then Friday is also stressful because we're playing catch up. So that was why we opened registration so late this year, is we didn't get into our space super late. The hotel was understaffed. They didn't actually flip our rooms for us until 9 p.m., and then we started setting up. Then we started having internet issues, and it was just a whole thing that could have been mitigated by getting into the hotel sooner. 2017, I actually, like, as the first year ever, I just felt like I had, like, the craziest... I gotta be honest with you guys. Every single year when I'm at this con, I get, like, a super crazy out-of-body experience anytime I'm here and I catch myself in a reflection or in a mirror. Like, there's, like, a couple mirrors just around here, and I'll be walking, and, like, I'll turn, and I'll catch myself in a mirror, and I'm just, like, looking at myself, and I'm, like... It's just really weird. Like, I'm, like, in charge of this whole thing, and it doesn't feel real. I don't know if it will ever feel real. It's like some pretty crazy imposter syndrome, if I'm being honest. But, like, it works, and it's worked for 6 years now, 5 conventions over 6 years. Obviously, we didn't do 2020. But the first year we ever did, we were just fucking winging it, right? It's 2017, we have a hotel, we're all like 22, 23 years old, and we're like, screw it, we can run a convention, we got this. And I'm like very confident going into this because my eye's on the ball, and I'm like just going through my list that I have, like, here's what needs to get done, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like telling people what to do, and people are coming to me and they're like, "Dre, here's a problem, what do we do about it?" And I don't think my staff realize that I'm literally just making it up. Like, as we go, they're like, "What do we do about this?" And I'm like, do this thing. And I think people assume that I'm working off of, like, some grand design that exists in my head where I can see the complete picture ahead, and that I'm not just, like, saying, "What if we did this and it wasn't terrible? How funny would that be? Let's try." And then it works, and I'm like, that worked. Hopefully next time works too. We were in registration. Our little registration desk area, first year. We did not expect how many people were gonna come to our first convention. We were like 300, 350, 400 people tops. We had 750 people show up our first year. We were like, and our registration, you think Reg is like messed up this year. We had 2 6-foot tables with 4 chairs. And we're like, baby, right? So I'm standing there, we're setting shit up. It's like Thursday, super early, and this girl comes around, and she's like super tiny, And she comes around, she comes up to us, and she stands in front of me, and she looks me straight in the eyes, and she goes, "Hey, when are you guys opening registration today?" And it was the first time ever, after working on Furrydelphia for 3 straight years, from literally a concept that we made up in our heads, all the way through this path, negotiating hotels, pushing it, marketing, figuring shit out, right? All the way up to getting into the hotel, setting up and opening the doors and working on things, that whole 3-year path, this is the first time in that entire path that I am looking an attendee in the eyes. And in that moment, I went, oh shit, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. What have I gotten myself into? It was the first time in that whole process where I was like, I am in over my head. And I literally just like swallowed and I said, we are going to open at 7 p.m. tonight. And she went, okay. And I was just like, guys, keep setting up. I need a break. I just like went into my room, just like thought about it, you know, like I didn't realize this panel would get so existential, but like, have you ever just like look into your eyes and like be like in the mirror, just like you look at yourself and you're just like not sure what you're looking at? I was like, that's like what I get every time I'm here. Like I walk around, even this year now, like I walk around and I've got this fancy lanyard on and this awesome looking t-shirt of art that just looks super. I'm here in this hotel, this massive, awesome hotel in Philly that could probably use some better sound dampening, but oh well. But, and I just like catch myself in the mirror and I'm like, holy cow, like, this is like me. This is like who I am. This is like what I do, and it works. And half the time, actually most of the time, it kind of feels like I don't really know what I'm doing. I just kind of make things up, and it works. But I kind of think that that's what having experience is. Because I think that all adults are just making shit up constantly as they go, but we're just using what we know to make sure that our educated guesses are as educated as they get. And we just, like, digest information and make the best calls we can. And man, running this for over the years has been the most exhilarating experience of my life, I gotta tell you. I graduated college, and I tell people that this, achieving this, is the biggest achievement of my entire life. I tell people, like, this is the biggest accomplishment of my entire life. And people are like, well, you've got a bachelor's degree. Like, that's a huge accomplishment. And I'm like, two things about that. First of all, the bachelor's degree was a 4-year thing. This is now year 7 that I've been doing this. So I'm closer to a doctorate than anything else. And second of all, when you go to college, you have a huge support structure when you get a bachelor's degree. Because for the most part, everyone expects that you will succeed when you go to college. No one ever really like looks at a college grad, right? If you are going to college, for the most part, no one assumes that you're gonna flunk out and fail. They assume that you're gonna go and you're gonna get your degree. So you get your degree and everyone's like, I'm so proud of you, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not like they're surprised. Because you did the thing, right? You did the thing that everyone else does. Because that's what they tell you. You go to school, you get your degree, and then you get a shitty job, and then you die. No one expected that this would succeed. I was pretty sure it would succeed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. But, like, we just had, like, a lot of people who didn't think that this would go anywhere. And it has gone places, and so, like, in the wake of that, I feel a lot more proud at this achievement. Not to, like, make it all about me. This has been a huge group effort from a ton of people, but from my contributions as the leader, it's like, wow. Everyone thought this was going to be a failure. I told my parents, I'm starting a company. It's for this group of people that dress like animals, blah, blah, blah. Parents didn't get it. They tried to get it, but they didn't get it, right? They're very confused as to what the whole thing was. They thought I was going to fail. They thought the whole thing was going to fail and that I was going to get sued by Hilton because we couldn't meet our contracts or whatever. And it did it. It succeeded. And we were good. And then my parents actually came to the first Philadelphia ever. And they walked around and they like talked to some of the attendees and they talked to the vendors. And they were like, I think we get it now. And so that was really, really validating and really, really cool. But... just like, it's great when your parents support your weird shit that you're into. Yeah, it's just like, no one expected that this would succeed. Everyone's telling me like, Drain, this is a bad idea. Like, you know, you could get in trouble. The community doesn't really need a con in Philly. Like, it doesn't really, it's not, like, AnthroCon is also in Pennsylvania. It's so big, like. We don't really need this. I don't think it will succeed. And, like, now we're here, and it has succeeded. And so, like, I'm just super proud of myself and super proud of everyone else who has been here from the start. Has anyone been here? Did anyone go to 2017? All right. Has anyone been to every Furrydelphia since? Okay. Hopefully the quality has been trending upwards pretty steadily. But thank you guys, like, sincerely. Whether you've been to every single Philadelphia or whether this is your first one ever, I just, you know, I look around when I'm here and I see all these people who are my friends just, like, having a great time and enjoying themselves, and I'm like, yeah, like, it was worth it, you know, because that's the whole thing. We didn't set out to make money or, become popular or anything. We just like wanted a cool hangout space in Philly, and now here it is, and everyone's here partying, having a great time, and I'm just like, this is what it's about. This was the dream, and now it's here, and couldn't be more happy with it. So cheers, thanks for coming through. It's 9:15, I'm technically over by 15 minutes. I don't think anyone would kill me if I spent like another 10 minutes in here. Does anyone want to ask me anything else in particular? Oh, a bunch of you. Yeah. I'm going to come up to you because I'm not going to be able to hear you at all. So. Alright, what's up?
What is the most memorable interaction, I mean, the most memorable reaction you remember that a non-furry happened to be in the hotel that weekend had?
What was the most memorable interaction that someone who was in the hotel, not for Furrydelphia, had while here? During the flood incident, the first one, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, when all this was going on, and the floors are drenched in water. And so, without any ability to do anything, the hotel has housekeeping up on this floor with a wet vac, and they're vacuuming up all the water. And I'm up there talking to the people in the room. Security showed up, our security showed up, and they're talking to the people in the room. No one's mad, we just want to find out what happened and what's going on. Anyway, as the dude is running the wet vac, a guy in the room across the hall opens his door, all pissed off. This dude's like in his freaking boxers and a t-shirt and like some flip-flops. He comes out and he's like, hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You need to be quiet. And the maintenance guy's like, I'm sorry. There's water all over the floor. We had a leak. We have to mop it up. We can't just leave water all over the floor. This dude's like, I'm going down to the front desk. So this dude in his boxers, t-shirt, and flip-flops steps into the squishy hallway. He starts walking towards the elevator. He's like, pss, 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 pss. I'm like, dude, you can hear the sound your feet are making. Like, you know that we have to mop this shit up. So I'm sitting there. I turn to the security guys. I'm like, are you guys good? They're like, yeah, we're just going to make sure that it's good. I'm like, cool. I'm going to follow that guy because I'm fascinated. What is this going to be? And so I follow, I like get on the elevator with him, and he doesn't even acknowledge I'm there. He's just like, elevator's going down, he's like all pissed off. Ding, elevator door's open, he steps out, tracking fucking water steps through the lobby and shit, goes up to the front desk, this polite gal in her nice like suit jacket is standing there. She's like, yes sir, how can I help you? You need to tell them to stop using the vacuum on my floor. She just like glances over at me and I'm like, go on. So she's like, sir, I'm very sorry, there was a leak. On that level, we have to vacuum it up. And he just like, blah, 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 manager this, manager that. Just, you know, we all work customer service at one point. We all know the type. That was just very funny because, like, he was, like, so belligerent with this woman for no reason, and I was about to, like, lean over and be like, God, what do you want them to do? Like, you want to just leave the floors wet all night? Like, what do you want to happen right now? Because he never said what he wanted to happen. He just wanted them to stop running the vacuum. It was just funny as hell. Because I think any reasonable person would have stepped into the hallway and been like, ah, I understand what you're doing. Okay, that sucks and I'm mad about it, but whatever. Just the fact that the dude was like, I'm going to go talk to the front desk. Like, all right, what's going to happen? Otherwise, like, we just had this woman, like, we, 2019, we had this woman show up, and she was just freaking crazy. She was, like, fresh out of Jersey Shore, trying to, like, literally, like, walked into the hotel with a lit cigarette. So she's, like, outside smoking, and then decides that it's, like, too hot or whatever, so she walks into the lobby with her lit cigarette, and is, like, blah, blah, blah. And then a manager, not one of us, but a hotel manager is like, man, you can't smoke in here, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm not smoking. Like, ma'am, she's like, I'm not smoking yet, am I? This woman thought that no smoking indoors means you can't have it in your mouth. Like, you can't have a lit cigarette inside, lady. And that was the whole thing. And she did the thing that I love when they do. You know when people who act like that bust out my favorite line ever, which is, well, I'm never coming back. Oh, no. But I was so hoping to deal with you again. Yeah, it's always funny when people think that. Like, yeah, I had that. This is not a Philadelphia story, but I had the same thing. But, like, this, like, 98-year-old woman, I was in a Boss Cops returning a shirt that I bought. I bought a special shirt for a wedding. I didn't really have money for it, but everyone was supposed to wear the same color. So I was like, oh, fine. So I bought this shirt, and then the wedding got canceled because the bride got COVID. Very sad, but not relevant to the story. So I'm back here returning this shirt because I didn't need to spend the money on it. And there's this, like, super old woman, just super fucking old. She's, like, here, and she's trying to return a whole fuckload of clothes in this freaking Boss Cos because they are out of season. And the lady at the desk is like, when did you buy this? And she's like, February. Like, ma'am, you can't just return clothes that you bought in the spring. She's like, well, I want to exchange them for fall things because it's fall soon. Like, that's not how this works. You're not renting the clothes. You can't return them. And she goes, she literally is like, well, then if you're not going to take this return, then I'm never shopping here again. And like the lady literally laughed. She was like, okay. You, that is fine with you, and I'm just standing behind, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this ancient woman saying, I'm never shopping here again, and I'm like, bitch, you ain't gonna be shopping anywhere pretty soon. Yeah, man, entitled old people are a hell of a thing. Entitled young people are a hell of a thing, too. But anyway, any other questions I can answer for you guys? Yeah. You can shout, I'm just coming closer.
This is kind of stupid, but did the crazy guy with the microphone ever actually tell you why he's
So that is not stupid. First of all, you're at a furry convention right now. So if you think that there's such thing as stupid, you are in stupid. And the answer is no. And I suspect two things. Either drugs or a lack of drugs. Yeah, what's up? How they react to furries in general? We find that most people who see the furries love it. Honestly, most people who see it Thursday when we were here setting up, this hotel is a big airline hotel as well, so there's a lot of pilots and flight attendants coming in and out. And on Thursday, they were all taking pictures with the fursuiters. I find that most people who don't know what furry is, their opinion of it is heavily influenced based on whether or not they're finding out about it in person or whether they're finding out about it over the internet. I think if they see it on forums and things like that, they're going to think that it's weird and gross and creepy. But if they see it in person and they see the interaction and the energy and the love that furries have, they like start to think it's really cool and they're more like down with it, right? Of course, every now and then we have a few shitbags who decide to complain to the hotel. Most hotels that we've been in have been very much on our side. I don't really want to say exactly what happened, but I will say that there was one of our hotels that, one of the two in the past, for my own liability, so they don't sue me, I won't specify which one, but one of them had a significant amount of other hotel guests that were very old, and the large group of them collectively, we heard it all the time. We could hear them talking about us because they would go to the front desk and talk about us within earshot of us, complaining about, and I quote, the faggots in the animal costumes. And that hotel, after that happened, chose not to renew our contract. So that was lame. But fuck that hotel.
Fuck that hotel.
Fuck that hotel. So now we're here, and these people are very, very, very happy to have us, as you can tell by all of their animal ears. The staff of this hotel think that we are the greatest thing ever. You have to realize this is a very corporate hotel. They have a lot of corporate events. So this is just a little bit more lively than your average, like, company training week that they're used to seeing. The group that was immediately before us was a bank conglomerate that was having, like, the regional annual conference or whatever. So this and that are, like, very different flavors. So the hotel's having a really great time with us being here. And yeah, they're super happy. Just to recap on the question, most people think that furries are super cool. Most people, if they don't think furries are super cool, they just avoid us. And every now and then, people are shitty, but we just disregard them, as long as the hotel's on our side, which this year they very much are.
What's the logistics like for getting all the prizes and all the free friends kind of gifts?
Like the merchandise?
Yeah.
The stuff? We actually work with a local manufacturer, which if you're ever in the position of getting merchandise, right? People make custom t-shirts and custom wristbands and lanyards and things of that nature all the time. And the first reaction is to go to a website that produces these things, a national entity such as Custom Inc. or Vistaprint or something of that nature. And we actually did that our first year, 2017. Almost all of our merchandise came from Custom Ink. Some of it came from Vistaprint. And after that, we were in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, King of Prussia, Valley Forge area, and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Bureau reached out to us and with a contact, because it's a BNI, for my friends who know what that is. BNI stands for Business Networking. I don't know what the I stands for. International. Cool. Thank you. You look like a BNI kind of person. But it's basically companies just like chat with each other. It's basically like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I own a flooring company. You're so-and-so. You own a wedding production company. Let's just like exchange, you know, phone numbers. And that way, if I'm doing someone's floor and they're like, oh, I'm getting married next month, we can go, oh, cool, I know a guy who does production. I can get you a discount, right? And then that dude's doing a wedding, and the bride and groom just bought a house. That wedding DJ guy can go, oh, yeah, I know a guy who does flooring, blah, 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 et cetera. So it's networking. Anyway, Valley Forge Convention and Tourism Bureau connected us with a local merchandise manufacturer. And I highly, highly recommend it that you do that over working with the internet. 9 times out of 10, they will be cheaper than an online source. I would say 8 times out of 10, they're cheaper than the online source. And the 9th time out of 10, if you show them that the online source is cheaper, they will adjust their price to match. So you're gonna have a better experience with a small local company. You just are. Period. You would also be shocked what kinds of small local companies can be around your area. I didn't even realize, we went to Vistaprint because I didn't even realize that t-shirt making would be a small local business, but alas. So we work with a company, they're called DJB Specialties. They're based out of North Wales, for anyone who lives around this area or is familiar with this area. And every year, I go to their showroom. My contact with them, his name's Mark, he's a younger guy, he's great, he loves furries. This was his introduction to the fandom. He thinks it's awesome. He's got a fursona and a character name now. His furry name is Poncho. I think that's great. But he's here, we comp him a badge, he runs around and parties with us and has a great time. And then, but he also, so every year, I sit down with him in his office, we go over his availability, we decide, so like, who here is an elite sponsor for us? You are like a super sponsor as well. Yeah. Do you guys like the Rocks glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah. I specifically picked that one out at his showroom. My man has like a bunch of them just there. And so we're just going through his catalog. And I'm telling him, I'm like, the theme is spacey. We want something that's like futuristic sci-fi. So I picked that one out specifically, worked with him on the pricing. So we do that every year. We go, we decide, like, he helps me figure out what's cool merchandise to give. What are people going to be, you know, interested in? I really want to give out merchandise that's useful and that's usable and that people will enjoy having. That's why, like, we always go with things like backpacks. We did the duffel bags this year that I think are really awesome. So he helps us pick all that stuff out, hooks us up with samples so that we can see the quality and things like that. We actually went through four for the backpack this year, the one with the zip draw bag top. We went through 4 different bags. We kept getting them, and I kept rejecting them because they felt cheap and shitty. So that was helpful to be able to like sit there with a local person who is in person with me, look at all the stuff and like make decisions, right? And then when the t-shirts came in, he's literally like mixing paint colors and putting swatches out. And it's like, these are the colors we're gonna do the shirt in. And it took us a 3-hour design session to pick this color right here. This like greenish white. It took a 3-hour design session to pick how this greenish white and this orangish white, these are two different colors. We spent 3 hours just like comparing different options and seeing how it would look. And I think the end result looks really, really awesome. So it's important to me that Furrydelphia merchandise be like really cool, really comfortable and high quality and not like cheap and shitty. So. Rockies are extreme, Ian. That is, I hear from pretty much everybody that that is our most popular theme that they had. That was our first year working with DJV, and so one of the big things they hooked us up with was the French presses. That was a tough one, but they got them for us, and they came out really, really good. I don't like that the imprint was super tiny, so we might work on that in the future to try to make it bigger, but I actually have a big interest in trying to bring back that merchandise for a second print. We have a few different brands within Furrydelphia. You may have seen the Bad Things Happen at Furrydelphia stuff come out. That happened because I was sitting at my house watching the stupid fucking Trump versus Biden debate, you know, the one that was a shit show. And while we're standing there, Trump's doing one of his fucking asinine rants about nothing at all. And he, at one point, he says the phrase, he's talking about fucking voter fraud that doesn't exist. And he's like, bad things happen in Philadelphia. 30 seconds later, my phone goes, bing, and it's our marketing guy. And he says, that on a shirt now. So the next day, we got with our graphic artist, and we designed Bad Things Happen at Furrydelphia, and that was it. So now we have that whole line, so we're going to keep doing reproductions of that. And then Rocky's Roastery is another line we want to bring back as well. We want to bring back more coffee mugs, more of the thermoses and the French presses. All that stuff. That was really, really popular, so we want to bring that back too. But if you guys are ever looking to get merchandise made, look for a local person. You will have a much better experience. I will take one more question before we split from this room. Yes. That's actually a pretty quick one. So the question is, what was the event or combination of events? Basically, what was the path that led to the decision that Philly needs a FurCon? There was a convention in New Jersey called FA United. And it was about an hour and 20 minutes drive away from me. About 45 to an hour drive away from Philadelphia proper. And it was a fun con, pretty much exclusively locals. So it was fun for local people in the New Jersey and Philly area to be able to go to this convention and hang out with each other. And then for one reason or another, I'm not privy to exactly what happened, but they decided to move the convention to Virginia. And so when that happened, we were like, the closest convention to us is now a 3-hour drive. So like, we're here in Philadelphia, which is the number 5 largest metropolitan area in the United States and has a massive furry population too. And the closest convention to us is a 2.5-hour drive south down to Tyson's Corner, Virginia for Furthermore. And likewise to where FAU now is, because the two of them move 15 minutes apart from each other. After that, it was a 3-hour drive north to get to Furpocalypse, and after that, it was a 5.5-hour drive, or 4.5 to 5-hour drive to get to Anthrocon, and then after that, it was like a 6-hour drive up to get to Anthro New England. So we're just like sitting there, drunk, at New Year's Furball one night, and New Year's Furball is like a one-night event that happens on New Year's Eve. So we're sitting in this hotel and there's fursuiters everywhere and everyone's talking and having a great time, and we're like, man, it sucks that this doesn't exist, like, for this area. And so we just started, myself and the who's now the vice chair, Higowitz, we drunk just started like hashing out a plan to start a furry convention. And then we like passed the fuck out at some point. It's New Year's, what can I say? And then we woke up and we like found the plan and we're like, oh shit, yeah, we were talking about that. And we went through the plan and we're like, this isn't nonsense. This is like surprisingly coherent and surprisingly thorough and surprisingly thought out. And somebody told me once that if you come up with an idea while drunk and it still sounds good when you're sober, then it's a really good idea. So we just ran with it. And I could talk more about what led to us starting Furrydelphia, but what led to the idea, it was mostly FA United moving away and us just finding out that there was not a convention within 100 miles of where we lived. And it was like, well, I want to go to a convention in Philly, and it doesn't exist, so I'm going to freaking start it.